Welcome to Issues of the Heart. Have you experienced anger, jealousy, anxiety, depression, marital storms or difficulties? Maybe struggling with self-control? Well, you're not alone, and we're here to help. We deal with these issues and more on Issues of the Heart. It's a weekly broadcast hosted by Jay Albright and a variety of guests where we examine biblical remedies to those issues of the heart. Stay tuned for this week's episode.
Welcome to Issues of the Heart. I hope you had a wonderful day. Boy, it's cold out there. It's been sleeting and misting all day long. But that's all right. We're inside. Pull up a cup of coffee. Sit down. And let's talk about issues of the heart. It's really good to have you this evening. And I hope you're enjoying the anchors as we go through these anchors. So what we're going to do today, we're going to resume where we left off, talking about anchors. When you're experiencing stormy activity in your relationship, anchors. We're on anchor number 15. This is episode number 16. Well, I'll remind you before we go on, excuse me, that you can go on to info@recoveryministries.com. Leave any questions, any thoughts, any ideas, something you maybe you'd like for us to cover. And then you can go to YouTube. All you have to do is type in Jay Albright -Issues of the Heart, and the podcast will come up right there. And you can make comments after the podcast, or you can go to the station where you get your normal podcast and just type in Jay Albright Issues of the Heart, and the podcast then will come up. We're going through these anchors and stormy activity. There's 20 of them all together. We're on anchor number 15 right now, which is episode 16 in the series. Let me remind you also that we've got some interesting things coming up. Somebody asked me, where did you come up with the name The Issues of the Heart? And so what we're probably going to do after we finish these anchors, we're probably going to take a couple of podcasts and explain to you why we call this podcast Issues of the Heart. It's our belief and our understanding that almost every, if not every, issue we battle starts in the heart. Goes from the heart to the mind, and from the mind to physical activity, you act it out. And we're going to show you that. We're going to use some scriptures to show you that. But we'll do that at a later time. And then after that, we've been requested to cover the subject of anger, which is something that most of us battle at some point in our life. So we're going to cover that. We're going to talk about, though, the issue of the heart, anger. And we're going to go on and on. We're going to have guests with us on some of those subjects, for sure on anger. And maybe with issues of the heart, but we'll see. But I want you to not miss a one, all right? Every Monday night, 7 o'clock, join us here. Okay, so let's take up where we left off. Excuse me, we're on anchor number 15. This is the anchor of understanding. Now, again, let me remind you, here's what we do. When we're going through a storm, I say it every week. Our pastor even said it at church this Sunday. You're either coming out of a storm, you're going into a storm, or there's a storm waiting in the horizon. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to get into this now, but I'm going to tell you, and you can give me your thoughts on it, but I think storms are necessary. I don't think they're just something that we go through that's allowed, but I think storms are necessary because I believe there are some things that happen in our relationship, that happen in our home, positive things that could not and would not have happened had we not gone through some storms. So we'll deal with that at a later time, but right now, what do you do when the storm comes? Well, when the wind starts to blow, remember that strong wind we talked about in Acts, the Laraculadon? When that happens, you got to just be still. You can't just float in the water. You throw out an anchor, you stop, just be still. And the anchor we're at today is the anchor of understanding. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, let me ask you a question. He said, is it even possible for me to understand my wife? He said, you know, I've always heard my whole life, men, you'll never understand women. You just won't understand women. Now, I will tell you, I want to hide behind this cup. I will tell you, sometimes it's tough. They don't think the way we think. And we don't think the way they think. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand them. But I will tell you, it's equally as hard for them to understand us, although they won't admit that. Most ladies will say, hey, you know what? Understanding my husband's not difficult. He's so habit-based. He's so predictable. Understanding him is not a problem. Maybe that's true. But I know understanding ladies is not as easy. And so somebody said to me, well, you know what? Then it's actually a physical impossibility. Can any man understand his wife? Can any man understand a woman? And my answer would be this. Yes. If you want to understand. Yes. And as you work to understand her, boy, a lot of things develop, a lot of positive things happen, and the closer you can become. So, people say, I can't understand her. I can't understand him. But what I've learned over the years is what really they mean is I hadn't tried to understand her. I hadn't tried to understand him. Now, let me give you a verse of scripture. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 3, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. So you build the house with wisdom, but you don't establish the house that way. It's established through understanding. Understanding. The desire for me to understand her, for her to understand me. So let's talk about it for a moment. Now you think, I'm sure questions are running through your mind right now. Well, I've tried to understand and I just can't do it. I mean, I've tried to figure it out. I've tried to get where she's coming from. I've tried to understand where he's coming from. I mean, some of the things he does to me appear to be so dumb. Some of the things she appears to me to do seems to be empty of any wisdom. How do you understand it? How can you understand it? Well, here's what Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 says. We said it just a second ago, through wisdom is house built, but by understanding it's established. So how do you do it? Well, first of all, never assume you know how your mate feels. Never assume that. Never assume. The phrase, I know how you feel, I stopped using it years ago. That got me in so much trouble when I was trying to, not with my wife, although I'm sure it did, she just didn't tell me, but it got me in so much trouble in dealing with families in our church because they would go through a battle and my response would be, you know what, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. And I'm going to tell you, even if you experienced the same thing your wife experienced, even if you experience the same things that your husband experienced, I promise you, you probably do not know how they feel. So don't assume that you know how they feel. When you assume that you know how your partner feels, your mate, your spouse, that often leads to a judgmental attitude followed by criticism. When you assume you know how they feel, when you assume it, it's easy then to become judgmental. Well, I know what she's thinking. I know what he's thinking. I know what she means. I know what he meant. Hey, look, ladies, I want to tell you, you usually don't know what we mean because we don't even know what we mean half the time. So don't assume you know how your mate feels, because if you do, it will lead to a judgmental attitude, which, and a judgmental attitude is always followed by criticism. You know, it's unwise to criticize people when you don't understand where they're coming from. As a matter of fact, you'd do well to assume you don't know how they feel. As a matter of fact, it's a positive thing for you to say to your husband or to your wife, tell me, what do you feel? How do you feel it? How can I help you? Help me to understand. Help me to get it. Help me to process what you're going through and why you're responding the way you're responding. The moment a person becomes judgmental or critical, I'm telling you, please listen to this statement. Anytime a person becomes judgmental or critical of their mate erects a barrier. And restoration often becomes impossible. Now let me say all that again because I want you to get it. The moment a person becomes judgmental or critical, their mate erects a barrier and restoration often becomes impossible. You get the idea? Sometimes a barrier is being erected because all of a sudden they quit talking. They do their own thing. They go their own way. They don't ask for your involvement in the things they're dealing with. So, don't assume you know how your mate feels. I'm going to tell you, you probably don't. You say, well, wait a minute. My wife and I, we've been married for 30 years. We've been married for 40 years. I think I know how he feels. I think I know how she feels. I'm saying you probably don't. Because for every episode or every situation or every trial, for every problem, there's new sets of feelings that implant themselves in that situation. And when you think you see it the way she sees it, you're probably not looking at it her way at all. So don't assume you know how they feel. Number two, be sensitive to your mate's concerns and responses. Be sensitive to your mate's concerns and responses. Look, when I'm teaching classes in my secular job, I teach the leaders, if they're going to be a good leader, you need to practice learning the eye color of the person you're teaching. And they always look at me funny when I say that. Learn their eye color. Memorize their eye color. What in the world does that have to do with operating, loading, maneuvering aircraft on an airport, around a ramp? What does that have to do with any of that? And my response is always, here's what it has to do with it. If you practice memorizing the eye, and usually when I'm teaching a class, I'll turn away from the class and I'll say, hey, can Can anybody tell me what my eye color is? And most of the time I don't hear a sound. And so I turn back around and say, my eye color is blue. Remember, it's blue. It's blue. Can you see it? It's blue. And then I say, the reason you memorize somebody's eye color is because to memorize the color of their eyes, you're forced to look at their eyes. You're forced to have eye-to-eye contact. So even if you're not listening to what they say, they don't know you're not, because you're looking them eye to eye. And there's something respectful about giving someone who's addressing you eye-to-eye contact. So be sensitive to your mate's concerns or responses. And the way you do that, first of all, when you're talking, have eye-to-eye contact. It's essential. Undivided attention is essential if you're going to be sensitive to your mate's concerns and responses. I mean, have you ever been battling some kind of battle, some difficulty, some issue, and all you wanted was for someone at least to try to understand where you're coming from? Just try to understand it. How many times have you said to your mate or to your kids, listen to me, get what I'm saying, understand what I'm saying, pay attention? That eye-to-eye contact forces you then to focus your attention on them so you hear more and you get where they're coming from. In counseling people, I've learned over the years, I learn more about a person while we're counseling by watching them than I do often by listening to them. Eye-to-eye contact, undivided attention. Hey ladies, how do you feel when you're trying to talk to your husband and he's watching a football game, or he's listening to something else, or he's working on something, or he's fixing an issue in the yard? Isn't it a little irritating when you're trying to have a conversation with him and yet his mind seems to be everywhere else except on the subject you're addressing? I'll never forget, when I was growing up, my dad was sitting in the den, and he's watching a football game, and I wanted to borrow some money, or I needed to get some money from dad. I was going to go do something, I think at school or with my friends, I don't remember, but I needed $5, and so I went to my dad, and back then, that was a lot of money when I was a young teenager. So I said, Dad, I need $5. He never answered me. He just kept watching the football game. And I said, Dad, can I borrow $5? He just kept watching the game. He didn't even look my direction. Man, I was getting frustrated. I said, Dad. Finally, I stepped in front of my dad so he couldn't see the TV. And I said, Dad. And he says, what? I said, Dad, can I borrow $10? He looked at me and said, son, step over here and say it again in that $5 ear, and I may let you have it. He heard me all along. He was listening to me all along, but because we didn't have eye-to-eye contact, I didn't know he was listening to me. I think he planned that out. But anyway, eye-to-eye contact is valuable. Undivided attention. Listen to me, fellas. You better care what your wife has to say. If you're going to have a happy marriage, if the ship is going to be stable in the middle of the storm, you better want to understand what she's saying. You better care what she's saying. Ladies, look, your husband, he wants to be the head of the house. He wants to be the provider. He wants to be the man. Some men have a real battle on their hands trying to be the head of the house, or trying to be the husband, or trying to be the protector. Because when he tries to express his desire to be that, you're unresponsive. You don't consider it. There is no undivided attention. My wife will tell you, one of the things when we're meeting with people, something that drives me up the wall, and forgive me, but there's a lot of things it seems like drives me up the wall. That's one of my flaws, one of many. But anyway, one of the things that drives me crazy is when we're in the middle of a conversation. I could be talking to this guy, this lady, this guy, whoever. And in the middle of that conversation, sitting together, somebody else starts up a new conversation about something totally different with somebody else in the group. Then all of a sudden, people can't determine who to focus on. Do they focus on what I'm saying? Do they focus on this person now who just started up this brand new conversation? Have you ever been there? I bet you. Matter of fact, I'm going to get in trouble, but if you've ever had a family reunion, you've experienced what I just said. If you've ever worked in a job where you have to have meetings in a conference room constantly, you've experienced what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, we started a new procedure where I work, and what we decided to do is, and I explained that every time we have a meeting going forward, we're going to have a gatekeeper, we're going to have a moderator, and we're going to have a timekeeper. Now, the moderator, he or she got the meeting started, gave us any information we needed to have the meeting. The gatekeeper made sure that they kept us on track. So if we were talking about safety compliance and loading an aircraft, and somebody else got on a subject totally oblivious to that, or maybe something we said led into something else, the gatekeeper's job was to say, wait a minute, that's not what this conversation's about, and would get us back on track. We gave them the authority to even say that to the CEO or to one of us as directors. They could say, whoa, you're getting off topic here. That was their job as a gatekeeper. And then we had a timekeeper. You've listened to me enough to know if I don't have a timekeeper, I'm in trouble, because I tend to ramble on, right? I tend to chase rabbits. I tend to have more conversations. One of the problems I have is I've lived long enough now, I have a lot of information, a lot of stories to tell, and I forget that I can't tell them all at one time. So anyway, eye contact, undivided attention. Keep your focus on what your mate is talking about. Stay tuned to what they're saying. You'd be surprised. First of all, you may learn something. But if you don't even learn anything, at least you've led your mate to believe you care about what they have to say and that it's important. Look, what's important to your mate must be important to you. If it's not, you're going to have problems in the storm. I'm going to say it again. What's important to your mate must. I don't care how insignificant it may seem. I don't care how little of a detail it may be. I don't care how minuscule it is. If it's important to your mate, it must be important to you, or you will not survive the storm. As a matter of fact, what happens is, if what your mate says, he or she, is not important to you, and they get that it's not important to you, Eventually, the conversations stop. And the things you really, 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 really should be listening to, they're not going to bother to say. Let me give you this third thing. Be patient when your mate battles inner struggles. Be patient when your mate battles inner struggles. A little patience when your mate's struggling reaps great dividends later. A little patience when your mate struggles. Get it. It doesn't matter why he's struggling. It doesn't matter why she's struggling. A little patience when there's inner struggling. You may not understand why there's a struggle. She may not understand why she's struggling, and he may not even understand why he's struggling. As a matter of fact, counseling offices and pastors' offices are full of people who are having problems and they don't know why they have the problem. There's an inner struggle they don't understand. So be patient. Be patient. Remember, a little patience when your mate's struggling reaps great dividends later. Not only does the relationship build stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger when you practice that kind of patience, I hate to tell you this, probably the day's going to come when you're going to need your mate to have as much patience with you. There's been times I was battling and I didn't even know why. Thank God for a mate who was patient. So, when the storm comes, the water gets rough, the ship is tossing to the left, to the right, it's doomed to sink. Throw out an anchor and just be still. The anchor of understanding. Stop complaining and start understanding. Stop fussing and start understanding. Stop complaining about what they're doing or how they're acting and start understanding. And the benefits are incredible. So remember, when the storm comes, the battles rage, the difficulties are rough. Throw out the anchor of understanding. You ought to start tonight. Start tonight trying to understand and just be still. God bless you. We'll see you next Monday night, 7 o'clock. Have a good week.